Welcome to the podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by students in our youth group.
Good morning. My name is Mackenzie Doyle. That is my sister Grace, and for those of you who don't really know me, I'm currently a senior at Westchester Ruston High School, and I'm graduating later this week. I've been coming to church here at Paley since before sixth grade. My family made the switch here for multiple reasons, and I couldn't be happier with that decision. I'm not trying to advertise the youth today or anything, but in all honesty, the youth programs here have literally changed my sister and I's life. Throughout my life, this church has become a place where I can feel safe and at home, a place where my relationships grew to be real and honest. Youth group, Sunday school, confirmation class, and the retreats turned into something more than just all the fun. They turned into something I would count down the days until I could go back to and experience what happens there all over again. What happens there is an entire different story. Between the fall retreat, the winter retreat, the great escape, a lot goes on. Now, I've tried to explain what Jesus Camp is like to someone who hasn't ever gone before it, and it's literally impossible, but I'm going to try real fast. You're covered in mud. It's deep embedded in the layers of your hair. There is gross slime running down your back, and you're being soaked by a freezing cold fire hose. But if you stand back for just 1 second, take a look around, your heart is so full. You are surrounded by all different types of people who are just so full of love and joy. There's not a bone in your body that wants the day to end. That is what Jesus Camp is like, and I've never appreciated something more in my life. Every day, I, alongside many other teenagers, are constantly tempted and pressured into making decisions that test our personal integrity. While at retreats or church camp, you are reminded and held accountable for your core beliefs and morals. Turning your back on distractions becomes easy again, and focusing on your relationship with Jesus becomes your top priority, just as it always should have been. If you ask anyone who has been a part of these types of things, they will all agree. We all leave with a spiritual high, and it's the best feeling. It's what makes leaving weekends and days like this so hard. We all know how at peace we feel and how the Lord's work and love rejuvenated our souls, but for a lot of us, the feeling doesn't last. For the longest time, I have separated my relationship with God from the rest of my life. One of my biggest challenges was mending my God life with my real or other life together as one. Bringing the two together has been a goal of mine and something I truly believe is necessary for life. Over the past year, it was something I became more aware of and really tried to work on. Senior year. It all started out with all of my teachers forgetting that it was supposed to be the easiest year of high school and not the hardest. Then the college applications hit. I was always warned about the application process, but I had no idea how hard it was actually going to hit me. After applying to the many schools, all I could do was wait. Not being in control, the fear of rejection, the feeling of having no idea what my future holds, those aren't easy things to brush off. Being in high school alone comes with its stresses and anxieties, so them combined made it very easy for me to get distracted from my relationship with Jesus. In the midst of all the chaos that comes with being in school, I decided to go on a Young Life retreat with my school. I wanted to go in with an open mind because I've always thought, how could something ever be as good as my church retreats? I've always been kind of anti-Young Life for a while because I thought it was too beginner or only scratched the surface, but little did I know that simple beginner message was exactly what I needed to hear at that time. I know these questions are just a part of what comes with graduating, but what do you want to be when you're older? What do you want to major in? Where are you going to go to college? These questions, all great questions, but they always made me feel stuck or lost because I didn't know what I wanted or what I was supposed to be when I grew up, and I was really just stressed and scared. All I really knew was that when I was older, I just wanted to be happy. Now, I want to share with you what I got out of the message at that Young Life retreat. If anyone was to ask you what you want in life, you would probably say the simple, to adventure, to be happy, to live life to the fullest. Now, what brings us happiness? What makes us happy? Some would say playing sports or watching sports. Some would say having a lot of friends, a good social life, getting good grades, money. All good things, all fine things. But us as human beings always want more. We are wired that way. We are thirsty for life. If money makes us happy, we will never be satisfied. We always will want more. If winning the Super Bowl is your lifelong dream, you win, and then what? It's over. You can have a big house, you can have a nice car, but we'll always want the next best thing. It's just the way we are. We go to all these different wells to quench our thirst, and we'll only continue to be thirsty if we try to find life through all these different things. It sounds cheesy, and it sounds simple, but the only way we can really grasp that thirst for life is we seek a relationship with Jesus. It makes sense, right? We all knew that, right? Jesus wants so bad for one of us, for each one of us to have a relationship with him, but we have to want it ourselves. That is where I think a lot of us have a disconnect. After hearing that message, it kind of gave me a reality check. It wasn't anything new or something I haven't heard before, but it made me take a step back and realize to not feel as lost. When the next person asked me what I was going to do when I was older, I was a little less scared. No matter what school I chose to go to, what major I decided on, it was going to be okay. Because if I kept my relationship with Jesus, I will be happy, happy and satisfied with wherever it is that I am. It is scary to not know, but after that weekend, I was able to dive back into my relationship with Jesus. If we go to scripture now and flip to Isaiah chapter 40, I'm going to start at verse 28. We can see the prophets reestablishing their faith in God after they were in a state of feeling abandoned and lost and scared. So at verse 28, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God and the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understandings no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. At this time, Judah was invaded. Jerusalem was conquered. Judah's king had been captured when he fled. People's homes were destroyed. The prophets were confused and scared as they were questioning if God was abandoning the plan he had for them. In this chapter, Isaiah set out to reestablish his faith in God. God had a bigger plan and a new idea, and all he had to do was put his faith in him and realize it was all going to work out. It was going to be okay. God does not forget about you, and he does have a plan for you. At camp, I saw all these girls writing in their journals, and journals were never, ever really my type of thing. But I was in the gift shop on the last day, and I said, why not? It seemed like it really worked for them. In my journal, which I have at home, I started to write every day about how I was keeping myself on track with Jesus and how I was going to continue to move forward with my relationship with him. On days when I still had a glimpse of feeling worried or stressed about not knowing where I was going to go, I could go to my journal to remember all that I had learned. Looking back while writing this a couple days ago, I had a verse written down that I learned on one of my very first retreats here at PPC. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is telling us not to worry, to not lose faith in him. He has a plan, and he is there to help and to strengthen. So do not lose faith. It was a fear factor themed retreat when I was in sixth or seventh grade, and I remember eating random chocolates out of diapers in the dark. The retreat was a lot of fun, and I remember many parts of it, but that verse is something that has stuck with me and helped me through the days that are shaky. It's a simple verse, but one with a lot more meaning because I've had it with me for so long. It was a simple reminder that I could use for whenever I grew weary. Being a Christian in high school is a challenge within itself, full of temptation and distractions. I've used this verse as a reminder to be confident in God's love and trusting in what my future holds. We are all different. And being a Christian high school is pretty rare. The love we feel from those relationships we have with each other and Jesus is something so special. Our faith and trust in God allows us, each of us, to walk with the utmost confidence, spreading the Lord's joy to everyone around us. Our thirst we have for life is so easily quenched by our relationship with Jesus. The youth group here has meant the world to me, and I'm very sad to be leaving it behind. I have decided to further my education at the Pennsylvania State University, and I'm very eager to see what God has in store for my future. I'm so grateful for what this church has equipped me with to take me on my journey into the future. And if I ever feel scared, I will remember to not fear, for God is on all of our sides. Let me pray. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for bringing everyone here safely this morning. I pray that anyone who feels full of chaos and confusion, who feels if they are drowning in their own lives, who is scared, I pray that those choose to rest in you, Jesus, and allow you to bring strength and peace into their lives. Sorry. I pray that everyone remembers to not fear, for you are always on our side. Thank you, God, for this church, this youth, and for allowing me to share your word today. Amen. Thank you.
Hello. Okay. Hello. Hello. Okay. My name is Georgia, and I'm a junior at the Baldwin School, and I was one of three student ambassadors on this trip to Belize, as you saw. This was my third mission trip to Belize in March. I've been on two previous ones, and I'm so thankful for all of my Belizean experiences and humbled when I think about how lucky I am to be able to experience God's presence all over the world. I'm going to talk to you today about the partnership between our church and Ebenezer Church. We started it on this past trip, and the reason our church decided to make a partnership in the first place is because we wanted to continue to do mission work in Belize, but not having a specific project, partnership, or goal could be harmful. Short-term mission work is delicate because making connections in a week's time and leaving can leave a feeling of neglect for those that we aim to make relationships with. When we are in Belize, we have to make sure that we have a specific goal so that we don't end up causing more harm than good. It was our team's responsibility on this past trip to decide if a partnership with Ebenezer Church was what God was calling us to do. Many of you remember the survey that was sent out to the congregation for this purpose exactly. This was part of my responsibility as a student ambassador. I took all of the information you provided me and assembled it into a binder, complete with pictures, a history of our church, and a greeting to the congregation at Ebenezer Church in English and Spanish. I presented this binder to the community at a service we all attended. I accompanied the binder with two shelf sitters that many of you probably have in your homes. The first was the shelf sitter of the chapel, which is pretty small, and I showed their congregation how small our original church was. And then I showed them our church now, the bigger one, and explained that our church had grown so big and that we can help them to do the same. Their pastor, Pastor Marvin, loved this message and held up the two blocks to show everyone. I saw many smiles and nods in the crowds. That was the moment for me that I could tell that God wanted our church to partner with Ebenezer. As the week progressed, we built relationships stronger than the fences we constructed, which is the first step in any partnership. Now that we are home, we have to ask, how are we going to continue this partnership with Ebenezer? This is going to be a church-wide endeavor. We want to make sure that this relationship between our churches is a two-way street. We can help build their church with materials and manpower, and we can help them expand and grow. You may be wondering, how can they help us? It may seem unlikely that a small church in Central America could help us, but I know two things that they definitely can help us with. The first is faith. Let me give you an example. Ebenezer did not have enough money to build a church of their own. They were worshiping outside, and they really weren't even close to getting enough money. So they asked each member of the church to bring a single brick to church the next week, and everyone brought a brick. And the next week, everyone brought another brick. And at this point, they now have a church, so you can fill in the blanks. So I just think this really shows that they had enough faith in God that their church would manifest physically, and it did. And we can sometimes give up on opportunities so easily here, and I think we can learn from Ebenezer to just have faith. God has it under control. Let Jesus take the wheel. The second thing that I think they can help us with is joy. Grace is going to talk about what we call Belizean joy, and Ebenezer possesses this extremely well. Many kids that we worked and played with during the days did not have food at home, they did not have two loving parents, but they came to the church whenever they could, smiled, laughed, and played like I've never seen. They were so full of joy just to be shoveling with us. Imagine this in the United States. On spring break, neighborhood kids run to church each morning or a local school to help clean and clean up the build, whatever they needed to do, just for fun. I just I think this is something that us as a country can work on, and I think we can learn from Belize that we can all have joy in doing the simplest of tasks, no matter how mundane or boring they are. Ebenezer is extremely good at this, and I am excited to continue working on this in our church. It sounds crazy to think of so much joy in such a small place, but I really admire it, and I'm sure most of you do as well. Each task that we need to complete should be done with joy and nothing else. So I hope we can work on these two things in our own congregation as we continue this partnership with Belize. Thank you.
Good morning.
I hope you enjoyed those action shots because they were really amazing. My name is Grace Doyle, and I went to Belize on March 24th through 31st as a student ambassador along with Tim, Georgia, and the rest of the Belize mission team. Belize, a seemingly simple opportunity to put my faith into action that resulted into something even bigger than that. A new experience, a new comfort zone, a new fascination, and a new joy. Belizean joy. It's hard to explain unless you experience it. The joy of the people there is shown in all things, despite the situation. Even mixing cement in blazing heat, which I have found a new appreciation for the people at Ebenezer Church that do it often. The people there are always happy and open to others. The joy seems to have made making our relationships easier and made them so much better. Relationships. Our main goal of going on this trip was to create relationships. At the very beginning of the trip, first walking into Ebenezer Church for their service on Sunday night, relationships seemed so hard. It seemed impossible to me. How can I make relationships with these people who see me as the outsider? At the beginning of the service, things seemed rocky, but relationships soon began to take shape. By the end of the night, our whole team was able to make friends with kids, adults, and everyone in between. We worked with Ebenezer Church for 3 days out of the week when we were there, and by the end of those 3 days, I never wanted to leave the people I met. There aren't enough words to explain how important the people I met are to me and my team. 3 days of working in the morning with people of all ages and playing in the afternoon with kids can leave a lot of time for meeting people and bonding. Everyone bonded with someone closely, if not many people, and I can assure you those bonds will never be broken. Unforgettable relationships and unbreakable bonds were evident to be made in a short time, like those with Vanessa, a little girl not more than 5 that loves to smile, play with bouncy balls, and jump off the steps into Georgia and I's arms. I can easily say she was attached to my hip and we are best friends. She's a good example of how Paoli Presbyterian and Ebenezer can support each other. There were other ones like those with Wilma, a young girl with Down syndrome. There was a communication barrier, but being together was just enough. Similarly, relationships like the one I had with Daniel. It seemed we were just together at first, with no real purpose. But after kicking a soccer ball around, coloring, and being together, relationships sprouted and we didn't want to leave each other. And most importantly, the relationships with the team itself. Our team bonded in a special way. We are able to laugh, cry, worship, make fun of each other's volleyball skills, and have well-thought-out conversations with each other, all while serving the Lord. Overall, the relationships made with every kid, adult, and all in between were a gift from God and are never to be forgotten. For they are special and an important stepping stone in our journey of faith. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Tim Burke. I'm the third member of the student ambassador team. And I am a senior at Great Valley right now. I'm graduating this week, and I'm going to be going to Franklin Marshall next year. And I'm here to, well, first, I went to the Israel mission trip last year. That was my first time, and then this was my second mission trip. And I'm here in an attempt to answer the question, why should you go on a mission trip, and try to persuade some of you to do so. So first of all, after I was on the Israel mission trip, I loved it, and it was an incredible experience. But when we went to Belize and our guide or our trip leader told us that sometimes mission work can be detrimental, I was very conflicted with that. As when you bring, so mission and service trips can bring in money and resources, and soon communities can become dependent on those. And that's why we want to emphasize how important it is to build this relationship between our church and Ebenezer, rather than just one group giving and the other receiving. One of the benefits of mission work is the relationships you build with not only the people in your group, but the people you meet abroad. There are so many intimate experiences and things you do with these people that really are great for building relationships. And there's no better catalyst of a relationship than being pushed into a foreign country with no one else you know. And at first, you might worry that you don't have anything in common, depending on age gaps or differences in backgrounds, but friendships will quickly emerge. For example, I know the other student ambassadors and I really connected with Dave Straw really well because he's as much of a child as we are, we found out. Mission work is also a great faith-building experience. It helps give you a broader worldview, and you can see how different groups of people worship. Here at Paoli, we have our itineraries on our scriptures and sermons, and over there, there's just many differences that you can view. As Georgia touched upon, how Ebenezer, the members brought brick by brick to build the church, and even on the Sundays when the only day that men didn't have to work, they would spend their whole day mixing cement and building the church. And while this is not necessarily a struggle we would experience here, it demonstrates incredible commitment and yearning for a place of worship. I imagine if we didn't have a place of worship, what lengths would we go to build one like that? And it really puts the struggles of other people into perspective. Before my first mission trip to Israel, I was pretty afraid. I had only gone like a week without my family, and that was on a church retreat over the summer, much less going across the world with people I just didn't know. And you may not know what to expect. Even after I'd gone to Israel before and I jumped at the opportunity to go to Belize, I was still a little worried as to what I would contribute. But these feelings of angst quickly fade away as you get to work and you meet a lot of new people. And the final point I want to touch upon is, even if you are unsure that you can help with the physically demanding tasks, like building or mixing concrete and building the fence, everyone can use their specific talents and abilities, and there's always something you can do. Thank you.